If I heard it once, I heard it 1,000 times. My roof, my rules. As long as you live under my roof, my father would say, you go by my rules. Now, when you grow up and you have your own roof, then you can go by your rules. But right now, my roof, my rules. You know, the best thing of that is that my mother moved to live with us in the last years of her life. And I loved the moments when we would disagree and I would stand up and go, Mother, my roof, my rules. It was a glorious moment. But you know what I mean, don't you? The guy who has the house is the guy who makes the rules. So now we come to this interesting moment in the disciples' life. In the first four chapters of Matthew, we hear about the birth of Jesus. We hear about the beginning of his ministry. We hear about the calling of the disciples. Now, he's about to tell us what it means if you're going to follow him, what it means to live in the kingdom of God, his kingdom, his rules. And here they are. They're found in the fifth chapter of Matthew. And we'll begin with verse 1. Stand with me now. I know it's weird, but there's still God's word, even in your home. Follow along with me. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain and he sat down. And his disciples came to him. And he began to teach them by saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for the kingdom of God is theirs. You are blessed when they insult you and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Be glad, rejoice, because your reward is great in heaven, for that is how they persecuted the prophets who came before you. And his disciples came to him. He sat down and he began to teach them. This is God's word for God's people. Hear it, believe it, and live. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, in this moment of confusion, anxiety, frustration, we pray that your word to us will be clear. And once we heard your word, we'll know what to do with it. And we pray this in your name. Amen. This is an interesting part of Matthew's gospel. Throughout Matthew's gospel, he is showing Jesus as the new Moses. Moses went up to the mountain, and when he came down from the mountain, he had the Ten Commandments. Jesus goes up on the mountain, and instead of the Ten Commandments, he gives us the Sermon on the Mount, beginning with this beautiful piece of scripture that we call the Beatitudes, the famous section that begins with all of the blessings. Now, when you read this passage of scripture, your first question is Jesus serious? Does he really expect us to live this way? Because when you begin to see what Jesus is unfolding and the kind of expectations he's putting on us, our first response is, nobody can do this. So our first response is, well, that is the expectation for super saints. That is for those people who have no life, who spend all their time in prayer, who spend all their time reading the Bible. You know who they are, but it's not for average, regular people like me. So our tendency is to dismiss the Sermon on the Mount as some unreal expectation that you and I could never live up to. But let's remember who Jesus is talking to. He's talking, as Matthew tells us, first to the disciples and then to the crowd that gathered around Jesus when he began to teach. Now, let's go through the disciples. You remember them? Yeah, there's Peter. Peter probably wasn't the valedictorian of his graduating class. One of the reasons we love Peter is he does so many dumb things. We love having him in the crowd because we always feel better because, hey, no matter how bad we've been or how bad we've done, we're not Peter. Jesus was laying out these expectations to Peter. And if Peter understood them, my guess is Jesus expects us to understand them as well. Was Jesus serious? Oh, I think so. I think if you're going to be part of the kingdom of God, if you're going to identify as a Christ follower, if you're going to live in the future of God's kingdom and that ultimate divine eternal reality, then this is how you live. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now notice what happens in the Beatitudes. When Moses comes down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are stuff that you do and don't do. They're actions. You have no other gods before me. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Honor your parents. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not lie. They're action. The Beatitudes are essence. This is not so much what you do. This is who you are. Perfume makers will mash a flower, will take an herb and grind it so that it can release the smell, the oils, the essential scent of that plant. When you mash it, the essence is revealed. That's what Jesus is talking about. In our essence, this is who we are. See, we try to live the Beatitudes backwards. We try to say, I want to be blessed. So how am I blessed? Well, I go over here and I become a peacemaker. And if I'm a peacemaker over here, then I'll be blessed over here in my real life. No. As Christ fills your life, as you focus more on Him in your study, in your worship, in your prayer life, in your obedience, everything becomes about Jesus. The way that we know you're focused on Jesus is you bring peace to the situations where you are. You know people like this. When they walk into a room, everybody in the room is blessed. Everybody feels better. Everybody relaxes because this person is in the room. You know people like that. They're blessed. Now there's an interesting word. What in the world does it mean to be blessed? I'm afraid it's one of those church words that we have kind of used so much that we have worn it out. It's what we say after somebody sneezes. It's what we say before dinner. You say the blessing before dinner. We say bless your heart if somebody's going through a bad time. But we have lost the essence of what it means to be blessed. In the Bible, this is a huge concept. When God blesses someone, their life is changed forever. God blesses Abram and promises Abram that he will be the father of a great people. What happens? Abram's name is changed from Abram to Abraham. A couple that doesn't have a child now has Isaac. When God blesses Samuel, Samuel is forever changed. When Jesus calls Simon Peter, and Simon says, you are the Christ, Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon, son of John, now you are Cephas. Now, the other disciples sitting around when Jesus called Simon Peter the rock must have fallen on the ground laughing. Peter was everything, anything but a rock. He was emotional. He acted before he thought. He got in all kind of trouble because of that. And now Jesus says, Simon, you are. Did you hear that? Present tense. Did you read the Beatitudes? Blessed are those who are. You see, that's what Jesus does. He does it all the time. He will call you to the future. You are blessed because you are pure in heart. Now, your first thing is, well, I'm not pure in heart. No more than Peter was the rock. But he will put that standard out there. And now in your discipleship, you will grow to that future tense. In Christ, you are. In Christ, you are becoming. pure in heart, peacemaker, hunger and thirst after righteousness, merciful. I'm not those things, not yet. You are becoming. Christ has already established that in your life. You see, that's what it means to be blessed. In the pictures we have of heaven, there's a great throne where God sits, and from this throne flows a river, the river of life that gives life to everything. And this river flows from heaven through Jesus Christ into his church. He is the water of life, the living water that gives water and life to all who believe in him. Now, this is the water that continues to flow through the church that gives life to creation around us, to our neighbors and to our communities. Now, blessed means you are lined up with this divine flow that comes from heaven. So there's nothing in your life that hinders that flow, okay? If you're not blessed, then you're not in alignment with what God is doing, and you block that flow. You become a dam. The water hits you and stops, doesn't flow through you. Blessed are those who hunger after righteousness. Blessed are those who mourn. Why? Because their lives are lined up, and the life force of God himself flows to you, in you, through you. You are blessed. In fact, you're so blessed that the world won't like you. What do you think of those last couple of blessings that Jesus gave us? Blessed are you when you are persecuted. How can you say blessing and persecution in the same sentence? How can you say, hey, enjoy this moment when you're being lied about and mistreated and put in jail and your property stolen? Blessed are you. What in the world? We don't have too much overt persecution, but we have it. Christians in our culture are called stupid, illogical, because we believe in a story that nobody can see, a God that nobody can grab hold on. So we're not scientific. You've heard all of the comments, as I have. So what happens when, one, you are persecuted, when you are pointed out, and you have to go through those uncomfortable moments? What's your first response? One, your first response is gratitude. That's what I said, gratitude. When you feel the persecution and the stress coming on you, your first response is thank you. Why? Because the world recognizes you as belonging to Jesus. You have the right jersey on, and the world sees it. Now, the world has a problem with Jesus. They don't like what Jesus asks of them. They don't like what Jesus says about some of their lifestyle choices and sin and salvation. So if they got a problem with Jesus, they'll have a problem with you. And when they recognize you as a follower of Jesus, your first thing is thank you. Your second thing is you know that Jesus has put you in a place where he wants to minister to somebody, and now you have the opportunity to be part of that. You see, if somebody pointed out the Jesus in you, it's because for some reason they want to talk to that Jesus. Now, they may be angry. They want to tell Jesus about how they were mistreated at their last church or by their last pastor. They may have some story, but they want a conversation with the Jesus they see in you. And God has put you in this divine moment. Blessed are you. Be grateful and look for the moment when God will use you. So Jesus goes up on the mountain. The disciples follow him. We follow him. We want to know what it means to be the kingdom of God. We want to know what it means to be one of his followers. And here's what he tells us. It's blessed when your essence is me. When the world mashes you, when life crushes you, and the scent that is released is Jesus Christ himself. That is our blessed assurance. Join us now as we continue to worship.